So welcome to another episode of DX Talks, where we really discuss the forefront of technologies. And today we have an amazing guest with us, Faraj. I will introduce him in few. Meanwhile, we are closing the nomination for Women, the second MENA Top 25 Women in FinTech, Blockchain, and Artificial Intelligence. So keep them coming, keep nominating. We still have around 20 days for the nomination, and then hopefully month of March, it will be deliberation, and then the results will be in end of April through our event that will be happening. So if you'd like to sponsor us or support us, we're more than happy to do that. With that, without any further ado, let me take Faraj. Faraj, welcome on board. Welcome to DX Talks. I'm super happy that you had the time and then you made it here. Thank you for that.
Thank you very much, Rudy, for having me. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Do you mind introducing yourself so that they know who you are? I know who you are. I know you're super active. We were just discussing this offline. Tell us a little bit more on what you do.
Yeah, I'm Faraj. I'm in crypto since 2020. I have been 15 years before that with oil and gas companies, largest in the world, like BP, ExxonMobil, DNO, Schlumberger, Halliburton. In those companies, I was responsible for drilling oil and gas wells with hundreds of million dollars of annual budgets. Then moved into the crypto space, first as a co-founder of CrossChain, back then a small private fund, venture fund, then small media in Dubai. I did my MBA, Harvard Business School, executive education, and started, completely moved away from oil and gas and moved into the crypto space as a co-founder of CrossChain Protocol. Now it's a cross-chain trading and yield protocol called CrossCurve, powered by AVA Aggregated Bridge. I'm still busy with this exciting project. We have just partnered up with Curve Finance, which is largest decentralized exchange in the world. I'm also chief commercial officer of Venom Foundation, which is layer one, focused on RWA, stable coins across the world, fast speed blockchain as well with 100k TPS capability. Apart from that, since 2021, I have created the largest in the space community of crypto executives. It's called Crypto Executives. It got awarded by AIBC as Crypto Hub of the Year in 2022. It has more than 2,200 members globally. Well known as probably the only source where you can get connections to all the top level executives from all around the world. We did multiple events around the globe in Dubai. I was speaking on many events as well. We did co-organized events with various protocols, with Boba Network, with various other protocols. Together with FD Capital, we did a few events only for chains and investors. So, pretty well known in Dubai ecosystem, but also globally as a networker, connector, and founder and executive.
And a busy man.
I try to stay busy in this industry.
Yeah, indeed. And that's what brings us today to discuss this fast movement of Web3 and how, it's really amazing. So in our last episode, we hosted Vessa, so as an amazing artist, which will be released also. We opened the season with Vessa, season 9, episode 215. So this is 216. And then we've been, you know, for the last 4 years, pumping news, trying to educate the masses. This is our one of bread and butter in English and Arabic, trying to really push the agenda of blockchain. And that's why, you know, we're really committed into this. And again, thank you. You know, you've mentioned a lot in your journey in the crypto space, but what really inspired you and when you said 2020, what was that thing that got you in?
It was a complete coincidence in some way. I just finished the MBA and I was having lots of free time, and I've met back then my co-founder on one of the birthday parties of my son, actually. And, you know, it instantly clicked when he started talking about the industry. I actually was following Bitcoin since 2011, you know, when it was $20, then it went up, then it went crashed down again. And I was always interested in technology. Unfortunately, I didn't follow my gut instincts back then and didn't invest when I kind of considered investing at $200. I was just watching it on the sidelines, and I've met a person who was deeply into it from 2016, went through a few bear markets and bull markets, and we decided to create a small private fund to invest in the protocols and projects. So I was really kind of shocked by the speed of the industry, by the amount of good and also good innovations, like DeFi. Summer was just ongoing back then. There were a lot of protocols that were literally skyrocketing, and the entire industry like started to kind of to go into the bull market. So this like and even conferences, you know, I started meeting with various C-levels and fund managers that usually could be inaccessible in the traditional space, especially in oil and gas where I was. But in crypto, everyone was super friendly. The space was very collaborative. Everyone tried to expand the pie. And it really looked like internet of 1990s, when everyone was like looking into the future with, you know, basically energy, young energy to move the world and bring this blockchain technology to the masses and make the humanity better through introduction of this technology. So not, of course, everyone. I mean, there was a lot of Wild West. There was a lot of rug pulls. Especially since 2022, when I fully left oil and gas and joined the crypto space, Luna FTX happened exactly at the same moment. So then, I mean, obviously, you know, it actually was a tough time for entire industry, but as many people say, this cleans up a lot of speculators from the market and people who are building the blockchains of the future, the infrastructure of the future, remain and continue to build and then flourish in the next bull cycle. So it was very, very important learning and great path for me to go through the bear market right from the start.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how the evolution is also, and then all of those rug pulls. And as you mentioned today, we are those projects that stayed that are building. So you are a co-founder of different companies and one. Which is a cross-chain liquidity protocol. Can you explain the significance of those interoperability of blockchains? Because for me, everyone is creating a blockchain, but how about those interoperabilities, these interconnections, those layers, because how can we link all of those innovations? Any specific goals? You know, knowing today cross-chain is really a huge problem.
Indeed. Just to give you an example, there are more than 200, between 150 and 200 blockchains in general. And every day, there are a few more that are created, right? Some of them are, major ones, for the last 6 months, are L2s on Ethereum, which is basically the major blockchain that contains most of the liquidity, especially in DeFi. This is where the bridges and interoperability comes into play. So when imagine having the internet where you have like a city, and within the city you can have lots of interesting things to see, but there are no roads, or those roads that are going towards other cities are sometimes corrupted, sometimes avalanches happening on those roads. And it's really important for the entire industry to have those, I would say, pipelines, have those motorways that would deliver both messaging in between blockchains and also liquidity in between blockchains. So more than $2 billion were stolen from the bridges the last year, right? 2022 and 2023. So this was one of the attack points for the hackers, because it was a concentration pots for the liquidity that wanted to be available to be moved between the chains. So since then, obviously, in 2021, when AVA cross-chain protocol was initially was designed to be launched and built, the problem was that there was not proper secured bridges that could move the liquidity in between. They were either too centralized, like multi-chain, despite they were having $6 billion in TVL. They just were reliant on few multi-sig accounts, and ultimately the entire multi-chain ecosystem collapsed when the founder was arrested in China. We were always looking to create the most decentralized bridging solution. Since then, we have created the most decentralizing bridging solution. We built it, and it required a large engineering effort. Currently, even in the mainnet, which AVA operates, there are 140 validators. And the nearest competitor is having 70 validators, which is XLR. However, we understand that during this time when we were building, the big players emerged, right, backed by very large players and liquidity providers in the market, like be it Wormhole with the backing from Jump Crypto, and being at layer zero with $135 million raised at $2 billion valuation. Sometimes they say $3 billion valuation. So XLR quite decentralized, became quite decentralized, became quite large. Chainlink, CCIP. So those protocols became already quite massive and also quite efficient in many sense. Maybe not as decentralized as we wanted them to be, but what we understood is we cannot compete with those, because you have to bring a lot of liquidity on your protocol. You become the target for hackers in that case. But what we would do rather is aggregate those protocols into the consensus layer where we would create the bridge, which rely on a few large and major bridges for the data provision, right? And for the liquidity, we created Cross Curve, which basically utilizes the largest DEX in the world, which utilizes the pools and the liquidity, $2 billion liquidity of Curve, to create efficient swaps. So in our opinion, we have we were able to create a solution which could revolutionize the space in the cross-chain aspects. We will make the moves, decentralized moves of liquidity as simple UX UI wise, like with one click, and as efficient as movement is on TEX. Currently, it's the decentralized exchanges volume is around 10% of the TEX volumes. But it shouldn't be so, right? I mean, there were a lot of centralized exchanges that went under, like, for example, FTX, with multiple consequences for a lot of players in the market. Absolutely, I'm confident that the centralized exchange volume will grow. However, for that, we need to have a reliable cross-chain solutions.
Yeah, you just sum it up with how the cross-chain will be playing a big role. You know, I know you're an investor yourself. What emerging trends are you looking for? And maybe technological advancements also, not just in Web3 or blockchain in specific, but also in general. What are you particularly excited when you see a project, or when what you're looking for in projects?
A great question. There are different ways how investors are looking into the crypto in general. A lot of them, they're going after hype. And they believe that with the way liquidity moves in this market, it mostly is hype driven. So when retail people would like to multiply their investments 10, 20 times, they would like to get into some kind of tokens. And there is a narrative, for example, play to earn or gamify, which was during the previous bull market. Then during the bear market, it was liquid staking token projects and also different L2s. In my opinion, anything that would bring the infrastructure of the blockchain closer to mass adoption would be a way to it will be an investable option for me. Anything that would potentially generate a lot of utility and value, for example, the cross-chain solutions that are more or less safe, or infrastructure solutions like another protocol that would create value and allow the blockchain technology to be utilized by the governments, by the large bodies, by the companies, to cut out middlemen, to create more trust within the real world operations. So basically serve businesses and serve the people. I would invest into those. Lately ZK technology was and a lot of startups around that. It is just like on the forefront of cryptography, and which lets basically communication to happen without identifying the source of the not the source, but the data itself. So it's basically the proofs, they call zero knowledge proofs. That's a very interesting technology for me. So my personal perspective, it's infrastructure that could be supported by hype. So if it is gaming, it could be something on the gaming infrastructure. I always believe that you shouldn't invest into the and try to find a gold mine. You should invest into the tools that are utilized for gold miners.
Digging ditches. Yeah. I get that.
Pickaxes, right? And the shovels. So
indeed.
So that's one of the things that, in my opinion, is there.
Very good. Do you think the Web3 space, how do you envision that Web3 space shaping that future? You know, you've been part of leading organizations, and you have some investments also that you're involved in. And Web3 is really shaping the whole internet, not just the space. It's an amazing thing. What's your take on this?
Web3, in my opinion, and it's not only my opinion. I mean, André Cronier shares this opinion. He's a co-founder of Phantom and early, basically, advocate and early inventor of the yield in the space and DeFi yield in the space. He believes also in the same narrative that Web3 now, at this moment, for the blockchain technology in general, it's similar to how internet was in 1990s, 1994, 1995. So definitely, we all try to kind of think of blockchain and Web3 dominating the world. How do we invest in a protocol that will have next $1 billion people and serve them? How do we kind of create a protocol that will be similar to ChatGPT and OpenAI for artificial intelligence? At the same time, we kind of do not understand that we cannot really create YouTube if we are having dial-up connection, right? So if Ethereum, for example, is having like 15 transactions per second, if Solana until recently couldn't have find a solution around the nodes, so the Solana is more stable and wouldn't go down every now and then. Now with FireDancer, it's more or less movement into the right direction. But in general, this space is very fresh. So if you ask me whether the Google or Facebook of Web3 are born, I would say probably not yet. And that's why I'm so passionate and so interested in being in this space and working with large protocols and supporting large protocols and through my community facilitate this networking, facilitate the events and encourage people to share the knowledge, to bring new ideas in the space, to share those ideas, to support each other, is to make those next Google and next Facebook to come into life faster, right?
I'm looking for another ChatGPT moment, I think, in the web.
Everyone is waiting for that. Everyone is waiting for that. In general, blockchain as a technology is widely and recognized as one of the disruptive technologies that could change the world in a way, right? Only, let's say, real world assets, right? So if something can be tokenized really well, like, for example, real estate or carbon credits or like commercial buildings, it could be oil even, right? So before oil reaches the space of like the tankers in the ports where it can be sold, you know, there is like entire there are a few years of development that is happening, and that entire process could be tokenized. The oil that is underground could be tokenized, and the entire financial system could be really in a big way fixed.
Reimagined, I would say.
Yes, reimagined, reconfigured. utilizing blockchain technologies, trade finance, which the commodity business is based on, right, with letters of credit, with a lot of technologies and a lot of solutions that were really out of date. This all could be put on blockchain and utilizing smart contracts made way more efficient. So the industries can be moved by the proper implementation of those technologies. In my opinion, a lot of what we're seeing, being it for good and bad in crypto, is coming from the speculation and hype, right? The incentives around protocols are made such as the producers of those tokens and of those utility tokens and of those protocols that have those, and tokenomics is currently designed to incentivize the team quite early compared to the conventional startup world, where between the time when you found your startup and IPO, it's like 5 or 7 years. In crypto space, it's shortened, right? If you just get a right product in the right space on the right chain, you can become a millionaire within months, right? And then you are disincentivized to continue building, continue innovating, continue grinding on. So, but again, this is very early industry. It will all change, I'm sure. I'm very positive about large institutions moving into this space because they see their importance. It's like with digital photos, Polaroid and Kodak of the industry, you know, they do not want to like to die. So the traditional finance behemoths like BlackRock and JP Morgan and others slowly coming into this space, right? Slowly they start recognizing Bitcoin as a commodity rather than speculative asset that can go to zero tomorrow, right? Yeah. So there is a lot of positive things happening in the industry. ETFs is definitely a super positive sign.
Let's see what happens, because there was a lot of hype and spike about it, but in reality, as usual, we're waiting now the halving. So it's the same. Will it be the same or not?
You know, this market is still moved by whales, right? So we shouldn't be ignorant and think that it is free markets like Forex. Even Forex markets were moved sometimes by LIBOR scandals, right? So in crypto, it's even worse, right? Yeah. So that's why the regulation is very important. So that's why when I joined Venom, I was kind of going into the regulated chain and tried to be a part of the protocol that works with like multiple governments, up 20 governments, with number of them MOUs already were signed. So this was a sign for me that there is like institutionals that are coming into the space, already coming from like adult approach, going towards large bringing the technology to the decision makers of the
solving
world.
More. I'd like to learn more offline. I'll later connect with you because I'm working on a consultancy part of our company. With the United Nations on bringing the global trade solutions on blockchain in the Middle East. So mm-hmm. we published a guide back in late 2023 for governments for adopting blockchain. We did different studies for local governments, and now we're doing upskilling phase also for different governments trying to really, you know, because some governments are forward, some governments are hesitant, some governments are, you know, still connecting it to the world of crypto, where it's much more the fundamentals and the use cases and so many other things. We're working on this. So if Venom working also on that part of government, I'd love to learn more and then how we can possibly work all together. Because again, it goes back to one thing, which is the integration part. If we're doing so many things and then they're not integrated, my belief is we're doomed to fail. I'm gonna jump to the last two questions quickly because time is really running. So you've been into the with Venom Foundation as a CCO. And Venom has a vision to onboard 1 billion users. Can you tell us more about that? Can you tell us about the role of Venom in this space also?
Yeah, absolutely. So Venom was spearheaded by Peter Kness, who's ex-CIO of BlackRock. And together, you know, we had a vision of Venom to become a blockchain that would go and serve the governments and create the and bring the technology of Web3 to the decision makers of the world in a way. So this would be the fiat-backed stable coins where various governments could create their own digital currency, utilize all the benefits of Web3 and Web3 finance, and sometimes leapfrog the banking system, especially in the developing nations. So by having a wallet, every person in the country could basically enjoy the banking solutions and way like more than sometimes than those people in the developed nations that are served by conventional banks. So for the governments, it is a kind of a source of solving their own problem and without creating the entire industry, trying to kind of fast track their process towards the prosperity for the people. And we also we're working on real world assets like carbon credits, tokenization, on creating a platform for like real estate and other trade finance and other real world utilities of the blockchain and tokenization aspects of the blockchain as well. Also, the idea was to create also a centralized exchange that would be able to exchange those security tokens and create liquidity for them. So like by working with large countries and creating like the stable coins of large countries, later you can create exchange pools between those countries, and the movement of finance in the world could become way more decentralized. So it wouldn't only go through the SWIFT system. It wouldn't only be required to go through USD rails. It could also be utilized through the smart contracts where the stable coins of different governments could be exchanged with one another in a decentralized way, right? Validated by a professional set of validators. So working with institutions, working with large banks, large kind of players in the market with Fortune 500 companies, we were trying to create a mass adoption through top-down approach. So if you connect the country like Bangladesh or Turkey or Indonesia or Kenya, and suddenly, you know, all those people that are citizens of these countries, they could have a decentralized ID. They could be able to use the fiat-backed stable coin through their wallet, right? And then they are within the Web3 ecosystem. So then you could bring them closer to understanding what staking is, what farming is, what how you can utilize your liquidity, that they could get their salary every day or every minute, and then they can kind of deposit their salary and get some returns. They could like work in a completely different way. They will own their data. Like, that's what Web3 allows, right? They can go to each bank and they would have their passport with them and all the data within their device with them, quite secured, because cryptography is a secured way of communication. So all that, if like Web3 actually scales, not through bottom up, where we like Stepan like was very popular in bringing the, for example, the utility to the masses. Everyone tried to walk and encourage their like relatives to walk and earn the coins, and they would understand what Web3 is and try to download the Solana wallet back then. But instead, going from top down approach, that was the way we were envisaged in the first place for Venom.
Thank you, Faraj. My last question is about the Execs Club. What is it with Club? How can they join? I'll be also adding the link, which is down under in the description and in our website. Do you mind telling us more?
Yeah. So the Crypto Executives, as I said, is a large network of largest in the space network of C-levels. And we kind of listened to the people, and a lot of people wanted to come in and join this community, but also a lot of people wanted to become something more than that. So they wanted to become a kind of a club where they not only will work, network, but also support each other, even invest and earn together, and learn and understand like the how this crypto world works through communication with the brightest minds in the industry, right? So I have created the Allied Crypto Executives Club, or ACE Club, and I'm working on getting like the final like preparations done for the launch, which I'm planning to do it in March. I'll be happy to talk to any people that would like to join early and understand what it's all about. So that list of people that are within my ecosystem currently, but obviously there are way more people that are currently would like to see in our network.
Amazing. Thank you, Faraj, for you shared a lot of info, and then we'll surely benefit from. And there will be a lot of reels and outputs out of this, as in short content, also that will be on the social media, so that we can focus the message even more. Much appreciated for your time. That's what we try to really bring forward, leaders from the space, similar to Faraj. And what you are doing is amazing. All of the best on any future endeavors. We'll definitely see you soon. April is the month of the second month, similar to October, especially after Ramadan time, which is coming upon us within the next months or so. So things will wind down and then reinstate in April. With that, I'd like to thank you, and then wish you a great week ahead and weekend, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you very much, Rudy. Really appreciate it.